This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, Sumitra Selvaraj, Shamik, as well as Juliet. And before the break, we had a story for you, which was all about pageants, beauty pageants, with or without purposes. I'm going to go back to that. And now on to our second story. And in conjunction with our second story, we're actually running a poll for you on Twitter.
Yes. So the story is basically about how the newly refurbished Tamantasetiti Wangsa has already been vandalized. And it was vandalized, I think, within its first day. So we were asking you, would charging an entrance fee encourage Malaysians to behave better in public parks? And so far, 55% of you have said, no, it won't. While another 45% of you have said yes. And we've got a few comments. We'll come back to that a bit later.
Yeah. So just some background after, as you said, Tamantasetiti. That's a hard one.
It is.
Tamantasetiti Wangsa. It deserves for us to say it slowly and carefully, has been closed for more than a year under KL's River of Life beautification project. But yesterday, it was officially reopened to the public. And, you see pictures of thousands of people thronging the park. And of course, for many years now, Titi Wangsa has been a popular exercise and recreational spot among Klang Valley folk, going to do an exercise or for some family activities.
So fun fact, the lake was originally part of a tin mine and was officiated by our third Prime Minister, Tun Hussein on the 1st of February 1980. That makes the park almost 40 years old. Wow. Definitely not a millennial. And those of you who grew up in the Klang Valley in the 80s or 90s would remember Titi Wangsa as part of your childhood. I'm going to say if you grew up in KL. Because if you grew up in PJ, we had our own parks and lakes.
So territory.
The park was closed in September 2018 for refurbishment, and that cost DBKL almost 100 million ringgit.
Ooh.
The upgrading covered about 20 hectares of the 46 hectare park and boasts new features such as the maze garden, there's something called the Banjaran Canopy Walkway, there's a children's water play park and two new playgrounds for kids of different ages. It was set to reopen in 2020, but due to popular demand and the school holidays, KL Mayor Datuk Noor Hisham Ahmad Dahlan decided to open the park a little bit earlier so that families could take advantage of the year-end holidays.
And what do you do with such nice, good intentions?
you behave like a Malaysian.
They just don't know a good thing when it's handed to them on acres of well-manicured lawns. Within hours, Titi Wangsa had already fallen victim to the ugly Malaysian. A Facebook post by Nur Fazlina Rosli, DBKL Project Implementation and Building Maintenance Department Senior Assistant Director, highlighted acts of vandalism and littering that had been spotted around the park just yesterday itself.
Yeah, and so her post with the its accompanying photos went viral and was picked up by several news outlets as well. So here at BFM, we quickly got on the line with Fazlina's colleague, Haji Khairul Azlan. He's the Deputy Director of the Department of Landscape and Recreational Development in DBKL, and he's in charge of park maintenance. So first, we asked him what kind of vandalism and destruction has been reported at Tamantasetiti Wangsa. Just to note, Khairul's answers are in Bahasa, but we will be summarising the gist of what he says.
Okay, yang setakat Venisma yang kita kesan sejak terbuka Taman Titi Wangsa ni sebab kemusnahan pokok abatas kerana pengunjung tidak menggunakan laluan masuk yang sepatutnya, dia menggunakan seolah laluan shortcut. Okay, yang seterusnya Venisma yang ada membuang sampah pada batas-batas pokok manakala sebab sampah dia tak buang di dalam tong sampah yang disediakan. Okey, yang seterusnya dia menggunakan kenderaan motosikal dalam kawasan taman. Dan laman yang sama juga ia menyalahgunakan wakaf. Wakaf yang kita sediakan tu ada yang tempat duduk tu ada yang dijadikan mereka tempat tidur. Sepatutnya wakaf tu untuk tempat duduk tapi dia jadikan tempat tidur untuk dia, mereka yang berada di kawasan tersebut. Dan yang last kali yang kita kesan pagar anti-climb dibuka. Dibuka mungkin disebabkan untuk tujuan memancing dekat dalam kasih Titi Wangsa tu.
So, you know, he's described people doing things like, you know, destroying the trees in the park because they're just trying to take shortcuts, littering, of course, riding motorbikes in the park, and also apparently tampering with the anti-climb gates so that they can enter the lake area to fish.
There's a reason why they're anti-climb.
Well, that's the thing. They didn't climb them. They just, I can't even understand why people behave this way.
Motorbikes in the park, yes, though. I can't wrap my head around. But moving
right?
on.
Mm-hmm. So Haji Khairul also described, because he's in charge of maintaining several parks around KL,
okay,
this is nothing new to him, unfortunately. Oh. So he described some of the vandalism and destruction that he's seen in other parks around KL.
Okay, ada tempat-tempat lain juga, contohnya dekat Taman Ampang Hilir. Walaupun dekat situ kita dah hadkan waktu malam tu ditutup, tapi pengunjung ataupun yang kaki memancing, dia membuka pagar yang kita dah sedia tu, dia buka. Jadi dia akan cuba masuk juga untuk tujuan memancing. Dalam masa sama, kalau kita tengok dekat yang apa yang disediakan dekat taman ni, contohnya dalam tandas ataupun dekat wakaf-wakaf yang disediakan ada kepala paip. Kepala paip tersebut dihilang. Itu yang masalahnya. Dalam masa sama, menggunakan air-air yang digunakan dekat yang dia kan contohnya air pancutan, air yang tu untuk tujuan dia mandi untuk orang gelandangan. Tu makluman semua, kita ada banyak taman dekat DPKL ni, semua sekarang ni taman memang kita dah beritahu dah, dilarang memancing, dilarang berkalaukan tidak senonoh, dilarang membuang sampah, semua kita dah letak papan tanda setiap tiap utama dekat Tito Wangsa pun kita dah letak, namun masih masalah juga.
So, you know, what he's saying is that even though there are clear signs warning people against destruction of public property, people are still doing things like illegal fishing, they're destroying the pipes, and they're using the water from the fountains to shower. Mm. And, you know, with all these problems, there is a lot for park maintenance to do. So Haji Khairul describes what goes into the monthly maintenance of Titi Wangsa.
Untuk kerja-kerja maintenance cost untuk setahun, ni saya beri pada average lah, lebih kurang RM50,000. RM50,000 adalah termasuk sekitar 98 ekar kawasan baru yang baru dibuka. Dan termasuk jalan Fletcher, jalan Temeling, jalan Temeloh. Lepas tu kita ada beri kepada 6 zon kawasan tersebut untuk kerja-kerja penyelenggaraan. Antara kerja-kerja penyelenggaraan ialah kerja pembersihan. Lepas tu kerja pembersihan tong sampah, penyiraman, penggemburan pangkal pokok, pembersihan longkang, sungkupan, membuka atau membuka kayu pancang. Lepas tu kita ada aturkan jadual-jadual pembajaan. Lagi satu, sebab kita dekat Tito Wangsa ni rumput ada banyak, limpuk motor dengan rumput sebulan dua kali. Lepas tu kita buat kerja-kerja penyenggaraan landscape kecil. Dalam masa sama kita ada buat kerja-kerja pembersihan rumpai dalam tasik Tito Wangsa.
So that's RM50,000 a month for maintenance, which covers cleaning up rubbish and drains, as well as landscaping of the vast areas of the park. And considering how much has gone into refurbishing the park and what it takes to keep it clean, I had to ask Haji Khairul what he thinks. You know, why don't Malaysians take better care of it?
Mengapa orang Malaysia, pada pandangan saya, bukan mengapa orang Malaysia tidak menghargai taman-taman Malaysia. Kemungkinan mereka ini tidak merasa tanggungjawab dan menghargai apa yang telah disumbangkan oleh kerajaan. Sebagai contoh, semalam kita dah buka Taman Tasik Titi Wangsa. Apa yang kita nampak dengan sampah bertaburan, lepas tu dengan minuman ditinggalkan saja. Kita kalau kita tengok dekat luar negara ni, tong sampah yang disediakan tidaklah banyak, kita boleh kira tong sampah ni, tapi dekat Titi Wangsa ni kita ada 50 lebih tong sampah disediakan, tapi masih tidak mencukupi. Ini menunjukkan rakyat Malaysia ni bila hadir ke taman ni, dia tak ada hadirkan dalam diri mereka ni satu perasaan sayang pada taman. Contohnya, bila lepas makan tu sepatutnya dia bawa lah makanan tu, bawa balik rumah. Macam dekat luar negara, dekat Australia ataupun Japan, dia bawa balik rumah sampah-sampah dia. Tapi dekat Malaysia ni dia lain sikit. Dia buat sampah ni, dia tahu ada orang tukang bersihkan. Attitude sekarang ni. Semua sekali yang hadir dekat taman-taman Kuala Lumpur.
So he's described something very familiar to us, isn't it? The lack of responsibility and civic mindedness among Malaysians. You know, he says even with 50 rubbish bins placed around Taman Titiwangsa, people still aren't using them because the crux of it is they expect park workers to clean up after them. So they just happily leave rubbish, you know, where it's most convenient for them. And so, you know, I asked Haji Khairul how Malaysians' attitudes can possibly be changed.
Pada pandangan saya, kita daripada benda menghargai, kita kena pandang kepada negara Jepun. Mereka kalau pada umur darjah 1, sekolah tadika, darjah 2, darjah 3 tu, dia dah ajar rasa tanggungjawab untuk kerja-kerja pembersihan. Pada saya, tidak mengharapkan kerja-kerja pembersihan dilaksanakan oleh orang lain. Tapi dekat Malaysia ni, dia mungkin tahap pelajaran dia belum ke tahap yang untuk mendidik rakyat Malaysia ni kerja-kerja pembersihan, dia berfikiran ada orang tukang bersihkan. Bukannya orang, bukannya diri sendiri, tapi ada orang tolong bersihkan. Itu yang masalahnya sekarang ni. Itu yang cara terbaik melalui pendidikan lah daripada sekolah rendah.
So what Haji Khairul is suggesting there is that we should adopt what the Japanese do, which is to inculcate values like responsibility from as young as kindergarten or primary age. And is it really the absence of the right education and values, though? I mean, would deterrence like an entrance fee force a change in attitude? So Haji Khairul weighs in.
Pada pandangan saya, buat masa sekarang belum sesuai sebab tak, untuk tujuan pemasukan ke taman ni sebagai tanda penghargaan kepada warga kota kita, tiada kenakan cas kemasukan pada pengunjung buat masa sekarang bagi mengadang warga kita, warga kota untuk berkunjung bersama keluarga bagi merapatkan uah dan mengelakkan serata antara sama dalam sama perjumpaan antara-antara mereka. Jadi buat masa sekarang ni untuk entrance free ni, saya, pandangan saya tak sesuai lah lagi.
So that was Haji Khairul Azlan, the Deputy Director of the Department of Landscape and Recreational Development in KL City Hall, or DBKL. And he's the person responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of several public parks around KL. While Nor Fazlina Rosli, which we mentioned earlier, she is the project coordinator who highlighted the vandalism on her Facebook page. She led and coordinated the design of the new, brand new and wonderful looking Taman Tasik Titiwangsa.
So no wonder she felt so upset by the destruction. Right? I mean, it was a project that had a lot of planning and thought put into it, you know, making it a beautiful and people-friendly space. So some of the other new features in the park include a man-made river shrouded in artificial mist with natural boulders. There's a maze garden inspired by Nusantara wood carving. There's a high fountain jet in the center of the lake, as well as a 4.6 kilometer jogging track and a 2.5 kilometer long bicycle track. So many things.
That's right.
And it is also an inclusive park, right? Because it's meant to be accessible to children with special needs, people with disabilities, as well as the elderly.
And there are not many public spaces in Malaysia that can claim that.
No.
And so,
your turn.
More ranting ahead. Maybe we should look at what our Twitter poll and what people are saying about that.
So we asked you whether charging an entrance fee would encourage Malaysians to behave better in public parks. And so far, 54% of you have said no, while another 46% of you have said yes. And some of the comments that we've been getting on Twitter, Nat loves Stop Under, I think she says that she hates that she's not surprised, but it's still disappointing nonetheless. Gilbert C says that there should be strict enforcement and heavy penalties for those found guilty. Jason says that enforcement is needed in many basic areas, for littering, for toilet flushing, for smoking.
Wait, we need to enforce toilet flushing now?
Apparently. Well, you know, we understand what he's talking about.
We've seen enough.
Muhammad Adrian, Muhammad Rasib said that it's unrealistic of DBKL to think that they can just build and open the park to the public without some effort to educate them on the upkeep and having some levels of enforcement. He suggests that maybe we should get volunteers or hire some ambassadors to walk around and show people where they can dispose of their trash as a start.
I disagree with this comment.
I severely
disagree with it, only because I think it's very realistic to open a public space and expect a basic level of decorum from our rakyat,
yes,
from our fellow citizens.
Yes.
And this whole thing about showing people where they can dispose their trash off. There are 50 trash cans. 50. You can count them all. And don't most trash cans have those little symbols on them of like a crumpled piece of paper and a hand holding it? And it's basically saying, here, dummy.
This is where you put your trash.
We need somebody to act it out for them.
We need somebody to patrol the area and tell them.
So, but, you know, DBKL's job is to provide the spaces and, yes, to maintain it, not to police our behaviours, I feel.
Exactly. No. Exactly. More comments on Twitter. Hung Nadim says that our mentality needs some checking and some things need to be done drastically, like you need to install CCTVs. And he also suggests that we print the culprits' faces and put it around the park so others will not do the same.
Name and shame.
Name and shame. Rebel to Save the Environment says that it's the people who are making this place bad, which is, I would agree with you. Mm-hmm. Sharon says, nanti dia cakap aku bayar habis tukang kutip buat apa.
I think that's exactly probably, yeah, what Haji Khairul echoed in his interview earlier, yeah, right?
That is the mentality that's driving people's attitudes. Well, my tax money or something like that is paying the cleaners to do the job. So why should I do it?
Why should I do that?
You know, right. I've had a perfect stranger say to me before in a restaurant where when I picked up my tray to bus my own tray to say, leave it, they will do it.
Yes, I've heard that,
I've heard that many times.
And it's a very curious thing to hear that a perfect stranger feels that they can say this to you. Don't worry, we have people here to do that.
Mm-hmm. It's people. It's the people, like he said. And Ibrahim has said that we shouldn't introduce an entry fee, but we should help upkeep. We should not introduce an entrance fee to help upkeep and maintain the park.
No, I think he's saying that we should introduce an entrance fee.
Yes, sorry, we should, but only to help with the upkeep and maintenance of the park.
Right.
Sorry, that's what he meant to say. But he also did say that we don't deserve nice things as long as most of us still have the third world mentality. He does think that strict enforcement and continuous education is required. And Tong KM says that short term, we need to catch one or two people and make examples of them with a heavy fine and some community service and long-term education. And we also have one message on WhatsApp from Liz from TTDI. She doesn't agree that charging an entrance fee will be a sustainable solution because she feels that once the entrance fee is lifted, the vandalism will start again. Mm. As far as she's concerned, the only sustainable solution is to invest in educating the people and to hire enforcement officers. So I think the theme that's coming a lot is education.
And enforcement.
Haji Khairul said something very interesting earlier. He said, you know, when you asked him about, you know, what needs to be done to change, right? He mentioned the Hap Pembelajaran. Mm-hmm. It's not educating people. It's the level of education. Something must be so broken in the way we teach whatever subject, moral studies, that's supposed to cover these sort of values, mm-hmm. right? Something must be so broken in the teaching of that curriculum that the message isn't going through.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That if your book, if a book in front of your textbook says, hey, you should not take this piece of rubbish and throw it on the road, but you should throw it into a bin. And then there are pictures, age-appropriate pictures to demonstrate for you. And it's still not getting through with reinforcement. What's then broken?
And so also with education, there are different types of education,
yes.
right? There's formal education, which is, like you said, the textbook tells you what to do with your rubbish. Mm. There's also informal learning, which is what you learn at home, what you see being modelled by people around you. And so if none of those are happening in tandem, and also with poor enforcement, I guess, you know, perhaps Malaysians are just like that. We do need that amount, a certain amount of policing and being hit on our wrists.
Well, it worked very well for Singapore.
Yeah, definitely, with the chewing gum ban and all of that. And heavy fines and really stiff penalties seems to be the only way to get people to
And I
behave.
Know Malaysians mocked that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They
mocked it.
And they said Singapore is a fine city and all of that. Look at their public spaces, though. Mm-hmm. You could roll around and eat your lunch off the grass.
We have another message from Chikian over on Twitter. He said that the National Zoo charges an entrance fee, but we still see people littering there. So he says basically the mentality of many Malaysians, sadly. And another cute message came in from Lokin Y on WhatsApp. He said that we need to put up a sign on in all these public spaces, which says, why are you littering? And it gives a few boxes there. One, I am stupid. Two, I don't care about my city. Three, mom still cleans up after my messes. Or four, all of the above.
But that doesn't work. You know, there is one of these electronic signs on, or whether it's a physical sign on one of the highways. I can't remember which one it is. But it says, tidakkah anda berasa salah.
Mm.
Do you not feel wrong for cutting queue? Mm. People still cut the queue.
Yes. Guilting people doesn't work. I don't know.
It's fines. You just have to find them and shame them and put them in jail for a day.
You know, I came into the studio all ready to say values, you know, because you know me, I'm all about
the values.
I'm all about it's gotta come from within you.
No.
But okay. I'm defeated.
I think you have to force them into, for a start, definitely. Because have we gotten to the point that we feel that maybe Malaysians feel that we don't have these nice things in our, that we don't deserve them, that we don't have access to them, perhaps? My worry is that we'll get to a point where the powers that be will stop having conversations about making nicer and nicer public spaces for us, because they'll say, what's the point? Mm-hmm. They're going to mess it all up anyway. Let's not give them a new park every 5 years. Let's give them a new park every 25 years. There's no difference. They're going to mess it up on day one anyway.
I mean, it may come to a point where the authorities have no choice but to to cut back on refurbishing or maintaining public spaces anyway. I mean, we just heard in the 2 o'clock news earlier that DBKL is budgeting 2.9 billion ringgit for 2020, and majority of that is, yes, for operations, things like maintenance, the rest for development. But, you know, just take a look around the city's center. You know that a lot more has got to go to development. Do we want them to be spending so much of their resources on enforcement office, paying enforcement officers to do what should come naturally to us?
I think what they'll do is they'll just end up closing the parks, and just then people won't have a place to
go. That's just a crime, isn't it?
Yeah.
And all for the want of just picking up your litter and taking it with you. That's all it takes, right? Nobody's asking you to do heroics and, you know, sail across the world on a boat and visit, you know, speak out against climate change. We're asking you to take your litter with you and dispose
throw
of it.
Just throw it in the rubbish bins.
And things like vandalism, though, that's a more willful form of destruction, isn't it? It's not just neglect or laziness or complacency. That is actual destructive, wanting to destroy something that's not yours.
Sharik and I were having this conversation earlier on, and you know, I was saying to her that I can almost understand people littering. Because it is a kind of I'm too lazy, I can't be bothered, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. But vandalism is, I want to do this. I want to willfully destroy something, despite the fact that I might get caught, despite the fact that I might get punished, despite the fact that I'm spoiling it, I still want to do it. And that is scary. Okay.
Well,
on that joyful note.
Yeah. Here on BFM, Hanif Baharudin, who produces the I Love KL show, has spoken to Elizabeth Cardosa from Badan Warisan Malaysia, where they talked about the history of Taman Tasik Tidi Wangsa. So I think that's an interesting thing that we should all listen to. When we know the origins of something, perhaps we will learn to value it better. Okay,
eternal Juliet, optimist,
yes,
I call Juliet's you.
Looking at me like, why?
I'm going to certainly go do that right now so that I can get out of this ranty frame of mind. That is all the time that we have for today's show, unfortunately. But please feel free to continue to share your thoughts with us. So you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 01878988899. If you fancy, you can look us up on Facebook. We're BFM The Bigger Picture. Drop us a message. Let us know if you like the show. If you did miss any part of today's show, please download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest or via the BFM app or on Spotify. All right. So have a great afternoon ahead, everybody. And we'll see you really soon. We're going to be leaving you with Ichiku Park by The Small Faces.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.